Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software created specifically for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Pamela Wagner of Agila Digital, and today we are discussing three science-based secrets of a successful entrepreneur. Pamela heads Agila Digital, a marketing agency focused on Google and Facebook advertising. Before founding the company, she worked at Google and in several other industries. Pamela is currently studying at Harvard for a master in psychology, and in 2017 was honored as a Forbes 30 Under 30 listmaker, which is incredible. Thanks so much for joining us today, Pamela.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's a pleasure.
So let's dive into a couple of questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
So I'm actually right now in the Bahamas.
That's awesome. And what would you say motivates or inspires you?
So I have always had a certain interest for other people, right? And their behavior and what they make out of their lives. And what really motivates or inspires me is when I see people discover an opportunity or be able to improve their lives because of an interaction that we've had, whether that is a conversation, whether that is a service while working with them, or just, you know, a skill that they gained at one point during our interaction, right? And then whether that is that they discovered new opportunities for their business or were able to grow that business or are just able to have, you know, live a little bit of a better life. Just really motivates and inspires me.
Yeah, that is really inspiring. There's nothing better, I think, than when you're able to just leave a positive mark on someone and leave them in a better place than where they were before.
Absolutely.
So how did you get into digital marketing to start?
So during my study years, during my bachelor and my master's degree, I worked in a whole range of different industries and companies and so on. And I dabbled a little bit in digital marketing, like, you know, a little bit of Facebook, social media, and so on. But it wasn't really until I joined Google after my master's degree that I started working in this space actively. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to be fair, until I really started the job, I didn't actually understand what my job description was about, right? And it ended up being really, really, like, it ended up being the best growth journey that I've ever had because I learned everything around Google Ads, Google Analytics, Google Maps, like anything that's like Google advertising related and like the back end and how it works. It was such a growth journey. Like, I learned it right at the source, which is something very rare these days. And this equipped me with skills that are very hard to gain anywhere else, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. And then why did you start Agila Digital?
So after I left Google, I really had the first opportunity in my life to determine what I wanted to do. I didn't have to attend any meeting. I didn't have to be at work at a certain point in time. I didn't have to study for an exam. It was all up to me, right? Mm-hmm. And I found it really, really exciting. I was like, even if this goes wrong, the only person I could blame is myself. And so you might as well try to get it right. So what I did is I already was traveling a bit because I just felt like I had to move a little bit. And I started taking on the first projects through, for example, Upwork.com and a couple other freelance platforms. And I also had quite a big network of people that I already knew around the world. Mm-hmm. And so about 4 months after I'd left Google, I had already made more money in a month than I've made at Google. And so I thought, well, I, you know, should better make this a company and create a proper structure around it, because if I figured out how to go this far without any prior knowledge, right, then I'm probably also able to figure out how to scale it and how to do this on a consistent level and basis, right? And I'm saying this coming from a family of no entrepreneurs, right?
And, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's very cool. And then what do you love most about running your agency?
For me, it really is the freedom that comes with it in terms of being able to do what I want, work from wherever I want, whenever and with whoever I want. That's...
Yeah, just having that flexibility. Yeah.
That brings a lot of fulfillment and contentness.
Definitely. Yeah, that's something we're going to be talking about in a little bit about, you know, having that happiness as well. So, yeah. And then, so what are the biggest challenges you encounter on a day-to-day basis?
So... in general, I would say the biggest challenge, not on a day-to-day basis, but like over the years, has been my mindset around certain things, right? And really challenging certain beliefs that I had and then letting them go and adapting new ones that just serve me better to be wherever I want to be.
Yeah.
On a day-to-day basis, it's not really that we have a lot of challenges, because we love our clients. We love what they do. We love supporting them. And technology is usually with us, right? So I wouldn't say per such that we have any day-to-day challenges. It's just something that comes with growing a company over time.
Okay, so it's more so of those mindset challenges that you've had to overcome.
Yes, yes. And I didn't even know I had.
Yeah, yeah, they sneak up on you.
Yeah.
And then if you had one growth tip that you could share with other agency owners, what would that be?
So... I have gotten this tip from a bunch of other people and coaches that I've worked with, and it's just so true. It's that your business is always a reflection of where you are right now with your own mindset. So whatever is not working in your business or in your agency right now, really dig deep and you will see that the answer is within you and it will be something that you can overcome.
That's good. I like that. All right. Well, let's dive into our topic now. So we're going to be talking about three science-based secrets to create a successful entrepreneur. So to start, can you speak to the idea of the no pain, no gain mentality, the idea that you need to hustle hard to be successful? What are your thoughts on this?
Right. So we've had this, especially since the existence of YouTube, right? Where we have all these like motivational videos and motivational speakers and all of that.
Yeah.
And the thought of like, you can only become something and become successful in the eyes of society when you work hard and work long hours has been promoted quite a lot. Mm-hmm. But we forget that in the end, life is not about the long hours that we work, but more about enjoying it and really living in the moment. And so a lot of people still work just towards a goal at the cost of no matter what. Mm-hmm. And that's just not healthy. Most people on the journey there lose family, friends, relationships, health, right? Only to achieve a certain goal and then have happiness that's very short-lived. Mm-hmm. We know by now, by like so many different kinds of studies, that you have more long-term happiness and contentness if you enjoy the road towards a certain goal rather than focusing on the goal itself, mm-hmm. right? And we also know that just stress has a harm on your body. Like any kind of negative stress that you have clogs up your blood cells. And what's happening when we have stress is that every energy that we have goes into our arms and legs in order to run, because it's still this old fight or flight mechanism that we have. Mm-hmm. So, and that takes away the blood from actually the valuable organs of our life in our body, heart, and so on. And that's when we have a lot of disease, because if our blood cannot flow freely, it cannot fight against viruses, it cannot keep us healthy, it cannot help us breathe evenly and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so the more in stress you are, the more likely you are to fall sick or get any kind of disease. Now, of course, that's counterproductive to you actually doing work and getting work done. But these days, a lot of people just rush back into work. They just take medicine or antibiotics to be able to work 3 hours and then crash again. And they do this for a couple of days until they hopefully feel better again, but their body hasn't fully recovered. Their body has only recovered like momentarily, but whatever damage was done is continuing usually. Yeah. And so, of course, in the long term, that just prevents us from really living a healthy and happy life. But we make so many sacrifices that just we forget what really matters in the end.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's why the whole idea of work-life balance is such a, you know, a topic that everyone just wants to know more about. And, you know, finding that elusive happiness. So, and I know you touched on that, but is there anything else you'd want to add about how happiness comes into play as an entrepreneur?
So I think what we need to remember is that we can only be productive for a certain amount of hours per day. Like there's a threshold of usually about 5-6 hours. And if we work anything beyond that, we're not as productive anymore. And there have been done several studies in Sweden and Denmark and a lot of other countries that have shown that.
Yeah.
So know that the less you work, less hours you work, the more productive you are, and usually the happier people become. So it's been shown that employees become happier, more content, and actually give you a much better outcome. So that is clearly showing us that, you know, less work actually means more happiness.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I know if I try to push through and work when I'm tired, it could take me, you know, 3 hours to a task, but it could take me like 45 minutes when I'm on the ball and clear-headed. So yeah, there's so much to that. It's so true.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. So now I'd love to talk about fear a little bit. So how do you recognize and deal with fear?
Sure. So in order to understand fear, we have to know where it comes from. Now, thousands of years ago, when there were still, you know, all kinds of like saber-toothed tigers around or whatever, we as human beings had a lot of danger. So we faced a lot of dangers on a daily level. And fear back then helped us recognize that danger, combat it, and in the end, live longer.
Mm-hmm.
But these days, the dangers for human beings are very, very limited, so to speak. Like we don't really have any dangers to our lives these days.
Mm-hmm.
But the brain didn't evolve as fast. So the brain still tries to have you be fearful of a lot of situations because it thinks that's what makes you live longer. But we've also seen with research that fear actually causes a stress. And with that, we're back to the previous point. It actually reduces our life, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so fear is fired by a part in the brain that's called the amygdala. And its sole goal is to warn us of anything that could harm us and could harm our life. But oftentimes it harms us of things that will never, ever happen.
Yeah.
So 99% of the worries that we have oftentimes never materialize because it's literally our brain just trying to keep itself busy when the energy would actually be better spent on thinking about how you could create abundance, how you could create happier employees, and so on.
It's just something that's perceived as fear, but isn't actually dangerous. Like the fear of public speaking, for example.
Correct. So when you recognize that, right, ask yourself, is that really true? And most of the times you will see that either the worry is not true or the likelihood of that worry becoming a reality is very, very small. And then you could turn this around by imagining the opposite, right? So if we take the example of public speaking, right? Like instead of thinking, oh my God, you know, they would judge me or I'm scared or whatever, could you think about, oh my God, these people are gonna love what I say. They're so appreciative that I'm showing up there. They resonate with the topic I'm speaking about, and they really love me for showing up there and being the authentic me that I am, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then by practicing that thought, you will be able to override that fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the more, you know, when you're able to shift that internal dialogue over time, it becomes a habit and it'll become more of an automatic response that you'll have over time if you're able to put a more positive spin on something that can be perceived as scary.
Exactly. And just like you kind of like your brain focuses on what you're scared about, your brain focuses on what you want and the good things you aim for, right?
Yeah.
So you can use this as a really effective technique to program your brain to do better in whatever area of your life that is.
Mm-hmm. So what has been something that you have through just shifting that mindset been able to overcome with regards to your business?
I think the biggest area for me was my mindset around money. Because I grew up in like thinking that, you know, you're supposed to earn a certain finite amount of money and that a lot of money is reserved for other people that are kind of special or those who do bad. Right. Mm-hmm. So I would say 90% of the thoughts were around, you know, whoever has a lot of money did something bad.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when you have a company and you want to grow that is not a very helpful thought. Like, you want to do good, right? But if your brain keeps saying, hey, a lot of money means doing bad, you just keep yourself from ever accomplishing.
So did it come down to like kind of like not being worthy of having that excess money?
On the one hand, I think that could have been one of the reasons too. And on the other hand, feeling guilty around having money, right? And keeping that. Because I always heard that, you know, whoever has a lot of money, they should just give it away, right? Like, why do they keep it? You know, they've been greedy.
Yeah.
Which all just resulted from not knowing and not having experienced having a lot of money.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So what has been your most memorable lesson as an entrepreneur running an agency?
So that might sound very cheesy, but that really you can do anything you want. Like, and after, even when things look bad, it's always going to go up. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen that over and over again. Whenever I was scared of something not happening or falling apart or whatever, there was always a solution.
Yeah.
No matter how weird or strange or bad it looked like, it was always a solution. It always went up again. So I think just keeping on pushing through, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, the major part of being an entrepreneur is coming up with those solutions. You know, we're constantly having to come up with creative solutions to overcome obstacles and just not accepting no for an answer at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Well said. Yeah.
How do you push yourself to learn and grow as a leader and business owner?
So one aspect here is that I took up this master's degree, this second master's degree in psychology. I like having something that's measurable and that I can work towards. So in terms of like a deadline or getting feedback from someone. So that was one thing. And then also from time to time, I work with coaches. If there is a certain challenge or a certain goal that I have and I want to overcome that or achieve that. So these are the two tools I would say I use mostly to grow and develop.
Okay, interesting. And what are your goals for 2022? I can't believe we're almost there.
So I would say I'm halfway through reviewing 2021.
Mm-hmm.
I am mostly still setting up my goals for 2022, so I don't really have them yet.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think it would be to have a more structured approach of how we scale the company.
Okay.
We have definitely reached our limits at certain times, and I'm now almost done with restructuring and becoming more efficient and at the same time delivering even more value to our clients. So that's been a fascinating journey, and I look forward to putting that into practice in 2022.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exciting. And is there anything else you'd like to add before we begin wrapping up?
So I would just say if people want to learn more about how they can, you know, especially like scale their company with Google Ads, then we got a free masterclass that you can check out at 6to7figureads.com.
Okay.
And other than that, it only keeps getting better. No matter where you're at, just know it only gets better. So you're so far, you're like, there's still so much more to accomplish.
Definitely. Well, I will put a link to that in the description. And where do you see Agila Digital in 5 years' time?
So we will definitely keep expanding our team globally. I mean, we already have now have a team that, you know, is based from like Vancouver to New Zealand, pretty much everywhere. But to really impact a lot more clients in terms of showing them how to grow sustainably with Google Ads, with Google Analytics, and how to use these platforms properly. There's still so much misinformation out there, still so much lack of knowledge, mm-hmm. and these platforms keep evolving. So our work is far from stopping and far from being done.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
So we're getting back here to money, and that is Jen Sincero, You're a Badass at Making Money.
Okay, perfect. And then what does your morning routine look like?
So usually I meditate, then at least every second day I work out, and I usually make some tea or bulletproof coffee. So that's with coconut oil and butter. And I try to not use my phone for the first hour. So I try to have those 4 or 5 things consistent every day.
That's awesome. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
There is a few, and I would say among the top of them are Richard Branson, Steve Jobs, Sarah Blakely, and Jesse Itzler.
Okay. And what is your favorite online tool?
I'm biased here. Google Ads.
Google Ads. Of course. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
How to price services according to value rather than hours of working.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Pamela. It was really great chatting with you.
Thank you, Julia. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.